It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
That reminds me, among the Miller Lite local legends at the roadshow on the Cape this week will be Ty Law and Courtney Cox and Santo and Baby Brooksy will be there with us as well on Friday. And Brian Hoyer. Where's the Brian Hoyer drop? Shine, please.
God.
In honor of Curtis. Old Curtis.
Brian Hoyer, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
So we cannot wait to see you on the Cape Thursday night, Friday morning. But in the meantime, here is Mego with today's news.
Five people were arrested by Boston police officers Monday after a climate protest disrupted traffic around Copley Square. Participants parked a pink car to block the road with a banner saying, quote, "Gas is bad for mass," while others attached themselves to large pink oil barrels. During the arrest, officers were also seen carrying the barrels away, and a tow truck arrived to remove the car. Members of Extinction Rebellion, that was the group, said they were protesting an annual fossil fuel industry event being held at the Westin Copley Place Hotel, the Northeast LDC Gas Forum. We can hear from one protester.
There seems to be no other way to get our message across. And so civil disobedience is what we do. We'd like to see things turn around here, but if they don't, we'll probably do something else.
Nothing says I want to end fossil fuels like making people idle in traffic and having a massive fossil fuel-powered dump truck arrive to take the cars. You absolute idiots.
Well, these people ought to be inconvenienced the same way they're inconveniencing some Joe or Joellen who's trying to get to work on a Monday morning.
Joellen, like, from Real Housewives of Rhode
Island? I don't know whatever. Who,
Joanne.
Like Barbara and Bill. Like, whoever it is who's trying to just go and do their stuff that they have to do to pay their bills, and you're clogging up traffic in the name of getting rid of fossil fuels. Like, that's... And then the people, they worked out a deal in court. They're not going to be charged with anything. They just have to do 40 hours of community service.
Yeah,
or something.
And take a shower.
Right.
When do our gas prices come down, though? God damn.
I don't know when that's happening, Wiggy. Not in the near future.
Damn.
Not in the
$5 and 50 cents for a gallon of gas.
I've been gambling with my tank because, like, today I drove it down to 3 miles left. Because I kept seeing gas stations where I was like, I'm not paying that, and I'm not paying that. Yeah. And you get to a point where it's like, well, I don't have a choice. I have to stop here.
Yeah, it ain't going down that much from one gas station to another.
Well, that's one of those things where people find a gas station that has lower prices, and then they drive an extra 20 miles to get there, and I don't think it works out that way.
I think that this is a thing with the sexes. Like, I think women are obsessed with the deal, what they don't consider the, like, driving 45 minutes to Bridgewater to get $4.50 instead of spending $4.65
where
you are.
No, I just feel much better if I'm paying like $4.12 versus $4.99. That's a big difference.
Where are you getting $4.12 versus $4.99? You might get...
Come down to my area.
Yeah, but I don't think the gas prices are that...
That's the difference that I saw
where?
driving from... Boston up to Maine. And by Maine, I mean on Route 1. On Route 1, I saw
one
for $4.12
in Maine.
When I was, no. In North Shore.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
You're like saying
Peabody. Route 1.
You're paying $4.12.
I saw one for $4.12. Before that, I saw one for $4.99.
How far?
Yeah. Hand to God. Right. Maybe 3 miles.
Are you sure you weren't looking at regular versus
I only use regular.
Premium?
Yeah, it was regular for both stations, Wiggy.
Wow. That's a massive gap. Generally,
that's why I'm telling you that I'm rolling around looking for my best
bet. I mean,
bet.
I've never heard that before. Generally, if it's like, you know, $4.99, you might get a place that gets you $4.89.
There are two gas stations where I live.
Uh-huh.
One is $4.49 per gallon.
Okay.
Across the street is $5.10. I don't understand how these two coexist.
All right. Well, that's a massive
hike. There must
hike.
Be something go. They are literally across the street from
I
each
guess
other.
Then, I guess.
I'm too dumb to understand
if
the
you're,
economics
I
of
guess
this
I
setup.
Would drive all over the place looking for $4.12, too, if I could get that versus $4.99.
A bunch of Mainers who listen to the show texting in saying it's under $4 at a bunch of places up
in
there.
In Maine?
Yeah, like the Irving and Biddeford.
Wow. There you go. So,
enough to drive to Maine to get my gas.
I'm going to Maine anyway.
There. Yeah, drive up there and fill up and then come back.
I'm going to have to start siphoning gas.
You don't fill your tank up anyway. We learned that once on the show when you ran out of gas trying to get here.
Wait, what do you mean?
And then he blamed it on your wife.
You do the $20 thing every time?
No. I go, my wife, she normally says, hey, can you get some gas? Sometimes I'll get in and I won't even pay attention, you know, because she never gets gas. Like, you know, she's like Oprah Winfrey. It's like, where do I put the gas pump? So if she doesn't tell me.
Does Oprah not know how to fill up?
Oh, yeah. You've
famously?
Never seen that video?
I'm very topical.
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's like
either,
there's a video out there. On like
some sort of a famous video?
On social media. Where
yeah, Geraldo doesn't do it.
No, like she's like at the gas pump. She's like, how does this work? What do I do with this thing? Anyways. And so
she's like Edward R. Murrow. Never fills up her gas tank.
Well, I mean, she's a massive celebrity that doesn't know how to fill up a gas tank. I think that's
really a big. Is she still a massive celebrity?
What was the last thing?
Oh yeah,
did?
It's Oprah.
She's
Winfrey.
A mogul.
Yeah,
and now she's on the Ozempic.
Yeah, I mean, she knows how to do the Ozempic, but ask her to where does the gas pump go? She's gonna be like, what?
Basically,
what does Sally Jesse Raphael think about the gas price?
You're the only one who gets gas in the family.
Pretty much. And if she doesn't remind me, sometimes I might not even pay attention to it.
I love how our text line now is just everybody checking in from all of the different cities across New England telling us how much gas is.
But there are a lot of people who are paying $3.99, $4.05 or whatever. People go to BJ's to get their gas.
Ooh, $3.87 in Seekonk, looking good.
I see $3.87 in Milton. I'll just drive right down there.
Yeah.
That's right next to me.
That's not bad. $3.80. So if you can get it on the $4.
That's what I'm talking about. Do you worry about the off-brand gas? Because my husband is one who's like,
not really.
I'll just go to the, you know, the gas station brand I know.
Yeah. No, not really.
What?
You know, like the off-brand gas stations?
Yeah.
It's all the same gas.
What, I don't know. Like, you know how... You so go you're going, into a town and there's like a little rinky-dink gas station that has two pumps.
Jim's gas station.
Yeah.
Meryl's husband's like, no, we got to make sure we go to Chevron.
Can't stop. He's like, we got to hit this Sunoco.
A gas snob?
Yeah.
Like a
what
bougie,
on earth?
Like
have you guys never heard of this?
Never.
Curtis, you're quiet back there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
There's certain gas stations where it's like they don't have the big brand name and you're like, this one's kind of creepy, but
I'm
whatever.
With your husband on this.
Right. How much of it is diluted, right?
Exactly.
Is what you're thinking.
Diluted?
What? Yeah. Yeah, like when you get eye surgery done.
Well, that's what she's talking
about. Dilated.
Dilute. It's either diluted or dilated.
Like no, diluted. Diluted.
Okay.
Yeah, not dilated.
Yeah. Yeah, no, sometimes you got to worry, like, is the gas kind of sketchy?
Yeah, did they mix
Am
it like...
Am I crazy?
No. Yes, you're insane.
I've believed forever.
My entire life, I have filled up at, like, no-name gas stations and never had an issue.
You drive an electric car now.
Yeah, now I do, yeah, but prior to that for 15
years. She's not saying having an issue, but she's saying that... Are they adding a little water in there? Right. Like they diluting the gas? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't
I've
think
heard
you're
that.
Like putting sugar
it'll
in
like
my
destroy
gas
the engine. What?
Yeah, that's what nobody, she said. You've never heard that before?
No, there's no such thing.
There's no such thing. What are you guys been living on the rock?
I said I'm with your husband. I would if it was Mobil or Billy Bob's, I'd go to Mobil.
Okay.
I had people asking me yesterday to clarify the thing. You were upset at him for wiping pizza grease on the
I heard
the
about this when I came home.
What?
He said I wasn't wiping my hand on there. I was just resting it above the blanket.
So what happened? You saw him. He was eating pizza.
I thought we were both eating pizza on our couch. And we got a new couch like a month ago. And I'm very protective of it. And he was like, I thought that he was using the blanket as a napkin to wipe his hand. And he told me he was just resting his greasy hand above the blanket.
I'm sure he did.
He said he didn't touch it.
Do what my grandmother used to do. She used to put the furniture in plastic and then say you can't sit on it.
I just throw a bunch of blankets on it because, guys, like, I had to brush my dog yesterday. I could have created a second dog out of the dog fur this time of year.
I told you, do that. That was big when I was...
Shrink wrapping my couch.
She used to wrap up the couches and then say, don't sit on them.
Oh, are we, during the news, are we getting to what the woman in England did when her dog passed away?
Yeah, and I'm inspired.
You are.
I am. I'm not even joking.
You can't possibly be.
I'm not joking.
I want to hear this.
We're going to get to that. We are going to get to the rest of the news in literally just 2 minutes. On the Greg Hill Show at WEEI.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studios, no fee unless you win. We were in the middle of the news when we were interrupted by a discussion on top tier gasoline or whatever the issue is. And now everybody's texting in, arguing in the Twitch chat, arguing in the YouTube chat. All gas is the same. No, there are
I'm reading the top tier gas thing.
So you're reading top tier gas?
Yeah, it contains higher concentrate of degenerate additives or something like that. And it's
Please don't read.
Yeah, I can.
Like, good advice. That don't read.
Yeah, well, I mean, those words are a little bit.
I drove my Toyota Corolla 225,000 miles without an issue. I'm fine. It's perfectly okay to go to no name gas stations. Trust me,
I think it's fine.
Does it make a difference what kind of car you drive? Because like, if you have a Toyota or a Honda, I drive a Honda.
It does make a difference.
But if you have like a, you know, if you have a really, really,
if
nice
you have
car,
an Audi or a Mercedes or a Lexus, you can't.
Oh, that makes a difference because then you got to get like the premium gas.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, that's different. But like, if you're just getting regular gas, you can just whatever you want.
I've never.
So
even
wait,
seen
wait
regular.
A second. Why is it different? Because the premium gas is better, correct?
It's the chemical bonds. Like,
so that's the point that people are making a top tier gas.
That's different. We're talking about just regular gas.
It's the octane level, isn't it?
So the chemical makeup of the actual gas.
Right, so you could get super, you could get regular, you could get premium.
The premium is better than
but
the
just
regular.
Because you go to a place that doesn't say Mobil on it. That's what Mego's husband
said. I get that.
Like, off brand.
You know,
but I understand what Mego's saying.
It's like her husband won't go to a mom and pop coffee shop. He has to go to Starbucks or Dunkin'.
Right. I understand what he's saying because I've heard the Mego
thing.
That's
not the same at all.
He's a gas snob.
Yes.
Yeah.
We both are. Because I'm like, I'm sketched out by it.
Yeah, you're both gas snobs. All right, can we get back to the news, please?
Yes. Well, this is also about a gas station. A 31-year-old man was charged with manslaughter following a deadly road rage incident in Waltham. Middlesex County DA Marion Ryan says the confrontation happened on the morning of May 27th when Timothy Scalisi and his car were blocking the entrance to a gas station for 23-year-old Nicholas D'Agostino and his car. An argument ensued, and as it escalated, Scalise, a former college wrestler, allegedly picked up D'Agostino and threw him onto the pavement. Ugh. He then fled the scene in his car, but surveillance footage caught the whole thing. D'Agostino suffered a brain bleed and died 2 days later.
Oof.
Scalise has been released on bail. He'll be back in court next month.
Mm. That's crazy.
Well, the road, it seems like road rage is worse than it is, but I don't know if it's just like the pervert teachers where it's reported now more on social media or whatever, but or it's because there's video of it, but it seems like every other day there's a road rage thing.
I think it's more nowadays just because people are way more
on edge.
Everybody's, you know, a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck. People are dealing with anxiety.
Like the traffic, the amount of time it takes to get anywhere.
Right.
Probably doesn't help either, but.
Right. But there's always been traffic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think just people nowadays, they're more likely to snap versus maybe just like back in the days just because of all the other stuff that's going on.
I have a question about traffic. So for the last 2 months, the right lane on the Pike eastbound has been closed. Now, all of a sudden, the left lane of the Pike eastbound is closed. Creating a bottleneck every single day. Is there any, like, what is, do we know what they're doing?
Nope. And probably you'll never find out.
Hopefully fixing potholes.
No, it's certainly not.
All right. Well, then I don't know.
Wait till they close Summer Street every day of a World Cup, any kind of World Cup activity.
I will say, though, World Cup fever has arrived.
Has it?
Told you.
What have you seen?
Just Castle Island. I've seen there's far more people.
More kilts on Castle Island?
Yes. I finally feel like I have company.
Okay.
And
have you run into any Paraguayans?
No.
No.
Okay. I'll be running in them Friday night. Okay. Paraguayans! The Latinos can party. I will be partying with the soccer people.
Really?
Smoking. We're going to smoke out the hop.
Oh, my.
Do you like smoking?
I don't know if that's something.
Well, I mean, they come over here. I bet it's hot over there with some of their laws, especially when it comes to the marijuana.
Well, there's some good news for you and Friday night. Am I correct, Mego, when it comes to being out at the Harp?
What's that?
Come on.
The next news story. I'm trying to segue you.
I thought you were bringing me back to my Harp days where I was like, is the ban lifted?
I thought you were trying to segue right into the next story.
Okay,
no,
yes.
We only have until 10, so.
Great news. Yes. Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey signed a bill into law Monday allowing designated outdoor drinking areas and extending alcohol service hours this summer. Supporters say it will help businesses and communities make the most of major events expected, including the World Cup, Sail Boston, and celebrations tied to America's 250th anniversary. The law will allow cities and towns to opt into a temporary pilot program, allowing public alcohol consumption in designated outdoor districts, and of course, keeping bars open until 3 a.m.
Did you see that they're naming this the Mega Law?
Stop it.
Oh, I like this.
Mega Law.
Yeah, you missed it there. Here's Governor Healey.
It's going to be great. We're going to have the opportunity for fans to be out together, enjoying one another's company. It just makes a whole lot of sense. So places can stay open, bars and restaurants, till 3 a.m. if they want. During this World Cup, it's going to be a great experience. People from all over the world, games played at all hours of the day. And I want people in Massachusetts to be able to take full advantage of that.
I mean, it's great. But for decades, the people who are in charge in this state and this city have done whatever they can to prevent people from having fun while drinking outside.
Right.
Like, you try and get permission to have an event outside in the city where there's alcohol, forget about it.
Right.
You try to stay open late. Like, look what happened to the Patriots guys. Wanted to have a little party to celebrate a playoff win.
Right.
And people are getting arrested left and right because it's after 1:30. And then suddenly we got a bunch of people coming from out of town and we're willing to throw all of that away. Like, do it for everybody who lives here all the time.
I would ask her that. Like, okay, if you're willing to do this and you know that it's going to be good for people and it's going to, you know, help the economy in the sense that, you know, people will be spending more money and that'll bring in more money to the economy, why won't you do it even when the World Cup's over? I would ask Governor Haley that.
So I think it's interesting that this is called a pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like a test run.
Yeah,
and that
okay.
makes me wonder if there is there a chance,
okay.
if this is like a big success, that she goes, you know what? We'll just keep that in place now.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Oh.
I hope so. I hope she's listening. Keep it in place because I think it's going to be a massive success. Because it's not just the younger people anymore. It's a lot of, you know, people that are, you know, empty nesters that like to get out and they want to have fun.
Who's that?
I mean, that's people like myself. Mm-hmm. Granted, it might not be every weekend, but when we do, we like to, you know, we don't want to have to get back home by 12 o'clock or 12:30. So I think it's a great thing.
What is the reason against it?
Well, Buzz Killington on the Subaru of New England text line says, doesn't longer drinking hours mean the increase of drunk drivers? Not in the city like
all
that.
Of these laws were put in place prior to ride sharing.
Because people
take Uber and Lyft. It's so easy. Or they walk home.
Curtis, you know what it is? And it's been like this from day one. And, you know, Greg always kind of makes fun of it. And I remember Bill Parcell saying it. They, in the mind of these boring ass people, they're like, nothing good happens after midnight.
Sorry to disappoint you.
So they feel like if the bars stay open,
aren't there going to be more drunk drivers around?
So Curtis,
guess I'm too dull to be around.
They feel like if the bars stay open later, then that means there'll be more trouble and more chaos that comes because there'll be more people drinking later into the night.
And I'll be
at home in bed watching Dateline, but I don't know why these people need the party.
Right. Not much of a house, just right for not much of a donkey.
I would say to those people, do what I do and go to bed.
Yeah, right. You don't have to.
I don't have to deal with it.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, the politicians will say, then the cops got to arrest more people because people are out at late night. That's all it is.
All right. Rest of the news with Mego next. You know who's a real know-it-all, Curtis? Rob Ninkovich is a real know-it-all.
I love Nink.
He's always shaming everybody based on what they drink their water from and if they enjoy a good rotisserie chicken. And he is texting me ad nauseum about gas and says, never fill up when the gas tanker is filling up the ground tanks because they are adding ethanol and that makes the gas go bad, or ethanol, and that makes the gas go bad quick.
So when should we fill up?
I don't know.
I mean if he's going to jump in and give us these tips, right? These hacks.
Well, he's an elite gas guy, like Mego's husband. Like,
so I mean, give me some info.
Another gas snob.
Like I had an editor once who said, don't bring me the problem, bring me a solution.
Correct. So. Yeah. Thank you.
How do I know?
So, Nink, we need some solutions here, right?
And Ninkovich, no show at a road show yet, right? Has he been at a road show yet?
No.
Was there last year?
Yeah, the one down on the Cape.
He was at Lobster Trap with us last year. So, only a few road shows left when it comes to Rob Ninkovich. And we would love to, Robert, we'd love to see you at one. We will be on the Cape this week, back on the Cape Thursday night with Miller Lite, 5:30 at Chapin's in Dennisport. And on Friday morning at the world-famous Beachcomber, 6 to 10 in Wellfleet. But back to the rest of the news. Finally, please, Mego.
An investigation is underway after more than 10,000 bottles of bourbon were stolen from a Philadelphia warehouse in broad daylight. It's Noble Oak bourbon worth about $500,000 total. We can hear from Bob Koch, COO of the company that distills Noble Oak.
It seemed like an organized group of criminals deceived one of our warehouse locations by getting them to load up about 11,000 bottles of bourbon into their vehicles, that being a semi-trailer, and made off with a whole ton of bourbon.
So I don't know if I could talk about this, but Eamon was in Philly trying to look at a new potential roadshow spot, and I find this to be too closely connected.
I don't know what did Eamon in. On Thursday night. I don't think it was Manhattan's. I don't even think we normally have a ceremonial Manhattan to start the pregame, but I think it may have been like Patron or something at back at the Brunswick afterwards.
It was there. He was gone.
It was at Cowbell.
Yeah,
it was.
That's where he ate the chicken tender off the floor.
He took his shirt off and started rubbing my chest.
Yeah, he was sauced up at the Cowbell. So whatever he was drinking there, by the time he got back to the Swick, it was too late.
Yeah.
That ship was already off into the night.
He was speaking Paraguayan.
Yeah, he was definitely speaking Paraguayan. Yes, he was like, yeah, he was speaking some
great
funky
performance, though. The man wins his own award. What's better than that?
No?
That'd be like Larry Bird being able to win the MVP.
Right.
The Larry Bird trophy. Yeah,
Vince Lombardi winning the Super Bowl.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. All right, sorry, what else?
We have a question of Would Wiggy Eat It?
Would you eat it?
They look like little dumplings.
Yes, they are.
Chicken palm all day long, baby.
Would you eat it?
I love boneless spare ribs.
Corn tortilla.
Would you eat it?
I think 6-inch wieners are the best.
With Wiggy.
So this is more of a case of would Wiggy drink it, and I just had to ask, would you drink Tom Brady's nut water?
Yep.
We live in a world of pause.
Curtis has been drinking it for years.
Yep. Right. All you do is win with that puppy.
Yeah. So, it's called Good Nut. It's coconut water. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Why? It's his new business venture.
Okay.
Good Nut is premium coconut water.
All right.
It comes in original, sparkling, and chocolate flavors.
Ooh.
Here's a snippet of Tom's commercial.
Are you launching another celebrity seltzer brand?
No, I'm launching a brand new coconut water. It's actually really good.
Oh, what's it called?
So we called coconut farmers in Vietnam for this one, which, when you care about ingredients, it's kind of a huge deal.
Not who you called, what's it called?
You called me!
Okay, just tell me what it's called, Tom.
When you have a product this good, it doesn't matter what it's called, okay?
Yeah, it kind of does.
I mean, appreciate the hustle, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The name, bruh. We live in the world of pause. So now, like, if I even want to go out and get your coconut water, there's going to be, 25 youngins going, pause, you drinking that? Pause. I'm just enjoying that. I'm interested in the chocolate flavor.
Me too.
Coconut.
That was the one that perked me up a little bit. It was delicious.
Yeah, because like I love coconut. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. I love coconut. And I do love when you do chocolate and coconut, Almond Joy.
Okay.
So I'm kind of interested on what that might taste like. Not really a big fan of coconut water. Have you ever had it?
I have.
Yeah, it's not like...
It's okay.
Yeah.
Flight of cocoa I've had before. It's okay.
I don't really get it.
Does he come up with these himself, Curtis? He just puts his name on it.
Yep.
And they pay him. Right. They give him equity or something. Is that how it works? And he gets paid if it does well?
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody said, hey, Tom, I got this business venture. Would you want to get in on it? It's going to pay you X amount of dollars. Maybe I'll pay you X amount to be the spokesperson. Good for him. I mean, you see the guy's lifestyle? I mean, every watch he puts on his wrist is worth $3 million. So, do as much as you can, bro. Wealth never goes away.
My question about Brady is, what does he say no to?
He didn't say Pizza Hut. You had an issue with him not saying no to Pizza Hut, right? He thought that was off-brand.
And he has a company. Didn't he just do like a sweet company after having Unreal forever, which was the anti-sweet company?
It was like a candy company.
He did a commercial for like Mounds or something, like for like pure chocolate candy or something. This is Jake from Boston. Hello, Jake.
So, listen, gang, I am grateful that 4 years ago, Robert Kraft flat out bribed FIFA behind the scenes to get World Cup games here over Washington, D.C. But my God, what an utterly pathetic, narcissistic, disgraceful act putting his needy butt courtside last night. You know what? You want to go to the game for business, go sit in a luxury suite. You want to sit close, you could have opted for row two or row three. But the owner of the New England Patriots, who can't go 5 seconds without bragging about sitting on those metal benches in the 200s, flashes a number one sign on the wood at the biggest New York sporting event in 26 years. And yeah, I know your quote-unquote wife is from there. She was nowhere to be found last night.
Jake, I'm curious. Hold on 1 second. I hate to break up this great rant. Why does it bother you? Like, how does that impact you if he's at that game last night?
Because Robert Kraft is addicted to cameras. By the way, why isn't he spending some time trying to re-sign Christian Gonzalez or bribing to get the NFL draft here? But no, you have to be in front of a camera, which is why I need Bill Chisholm to stand on guard and ban him from the garden and his little round of applause that he likes getting at games. By the way, Curtis, do you know the only time that guy was not addicted to getting the photo op? Do you want to know the one time?
Yeah, I think something happened in Florida.
It wasn't even that, because obviously that's understandable. The one time he was not addicted to getting that photo op was when he opened his stadium for the COVID vaccine and never got that photo op of him getting the vaccine. I wonder why. Why? Well, he's addicted to him. He should be banned from the garden for life.
I don't know what that is.
He's like Mego. Mego didn't like it.
He's not alone, though. I brought this up.
You did?
It was the start of the show.
Yeah.
People were DMing me. I think York Dog was DMing me right off the bat last night during the game going, what is Robert Kraft doing at a New York sporting event?
Right.
I don't get the
Mego was upset.
Yeah, it's
a little weird.
Yeah, see, Mego doesn't agree with it.
Mego wasn't pissed. You just thought it was a weird thing.
I was surprised. I thought the optics are a little weird because being there and being at MSG in that night makes it look like you're a Knicks fan.
Even if you're not, it makes it look like you're sitting courtside at a Knicks game.
Sorry, Curtis.
It's the biggest game in the history of the franchise since the 70s.
But it was also an event. It's like going to a Super Bowl when your team isn't in it. Like it doesn't mean you're rooting for the 49ers if you're at it was a Super Bowl event last night.
If somebody called any one of us yesterday and said, "Hey, hop on the Acela.
Mm-hmm.
I got courtside seats for the game tonight."
Who I spent $130 no? grand on two tickets for the game.
But like,
nobody says no to that.
It's free. Yeah. Do you want to go? The last night's game was like Americana. The president's there.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great scene.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. I just think that the optics make people look at it that way.
What's the optic?
Are you cheering for the Knicks?
I get what you're saying.
That's the question that people have.
But
are
does anybody think Robert Kraft is a Knicks fan?
No, but I get what Courtney... I see the side of the street Courtney's on. What I would have did is if I was
what
Robert...
What side of the street is Courtney on?
Courtney.
I mean, excuse me, Mego. I'm sorry.
Oh, yikes, dude.
I mean, listen.
You are horrible at names.
So, I mean, she knows what I'm saying.
Grandpa, it's killing
yes.
us.
It's only been 3.5 months.
If Nikovich was on here every day for like the last 2 months, you probably would have called him Wiggy at one point in time. It's a slip up.
You're right.
I don't have a problem with it. I would have went and I would have wore a Jason Tatum jersey probably. That's what Kraft should have did, wear like a Celtics jersey. That would have really stunned.
I don't have a problem with it. I know why people are jumping to this conclusion because they're probably like, I want to see the footage of what happened, you know, when Jalen Brunson took a hard hit. Was he like, what's going on? Or when somebody sank a three, like, is he like up and rooting for the Knicks? Probably the path that people go down.
He was probably more there to schmingle. Like, I saw him embracing Jay-Z, for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he was there to mingle.
But well, if he has a massive international charity that is dedicated to fighting anti-Semitism and racism and all these things, he was visible on the court with the pin about what he's representing. He's a guy that is of the world these days. Like, I don't think it was in any way a shot at Celtics or Celtics fans.
No. I think it's like more to maybe the caller's point. You know, you want to be noticed. Like, you're going to game. Because are you that much of a diehard fan? Because why weren't you at San Antonio courtside? Like, I would ask all these.
Because it's not the same scene.
No,
it's San Antonio, not New York, but that's
the point that some people don't like. And DJ Khaled was courtside. I'm like, bruh, you're supposed to be a Miami Heat fan.
Again.
He was on his
and
phone.
I get it. So I think it's a little bit of like, it's a huge event.
Where was Fat Joe? He was in San Antonio.
Fat Joe was in San Antonio.
Previously,
another one.
Thank you,
and,
DJ.
And I get it. You want to be seen a little bit. You're Robert Kraft. You got the bread. It's an event. If you could do it, if I could do it, I told you, I would do
another
it.
Another one.
Yes.
At what point when you're Fat Joe do you just sort of capitulate and say, okay, I'm Fat Joe? Like, well, that seems like a really
Wiggy's
crappy
like,
name.
Wiggy's like, I get it. I saw RJ Khaled there last night.
No, I know DJ Khaled.
All right.
I know all the hip-hop names.
We got to take a break. We will be right back.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hill Notes still to come. Leave a voice note on the Odyssey app on any topic, whether it is something that we have discussed or have not discussed, and we'll play the best ones back later. Speaking of things we discussed, Mego during the news brought up the approval of the 3 a.m. last call and some public drinking opportunities during the World Cup. And someone said, why can't we, is this a pilot program? Why can't we have this all the time? I thought it might be informative to speak to our governor about that this morning. And so here she is, the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Maura Healey. Good morning, governor.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Thank you for this. Certainly appreciated. I would ask if this is something, like we're doing this for the out-of-towners and the tourists, and I appreciate that. Is this a pilot program, and could it be something that happens in the state going forward?
Yeah, I think it could be. I mean, we have to start somewhere. And you know, this is a great thing that's happening with the World Cup. A lot of people coming in, also a lot of people here who are gonna want to go out and watch games. And I always think it's more fun to watch games with other people out at a bar or a restaurant. So. We're going to do this through the end of July, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I think allowing people more forms of entertainment, later hours, we've expanded the tease hours, right? Like we run the tea later in the night because we want people to be out and be able to enjoy themselves. And the World Cup is a great opportunity to test us out.
So, Governor Healey, I guess the question that I only have, I'm all for it. It should have been done a long time ago. What's been such the kickback on, you know, we're a major city here, but we act like, you know, we act like a literally a boring ass city. Why is the kickback?
Wiggy doesn't like that the lights go off at 11 p.m. Yeah. He thinks it doesn't help when it comes to luring free agent athletes.
Yeah, or
here.
Just people want to live here.
Yeah,
I'd rather live in Atlanta or something like that.
Well, you know, a lot of these things are controlled at the local level, but there was a state law that, you know, set out some of the rules around the closing times. But, you know, this gives it now to cities and towns. It's their option, you know, how late they want to go and what they want to do. And so I think this is a good opportunity for, you know, a city to test it out, see how it goes. But look, I'm all for more vibrancy and more things happening later at night. I mean, we look at New York, you know, you know, there are other places that are doing this, and, you know, we don't have to do the exact same thing, but I'd love to see more vibrancy and more options for people later at night.
How quick can this happen? Because we have a pregame for a road show at Chapin's in Dennisport on Thursday. Is it possible to extend out? Like, how long is it going to take to extend it?
Hey, well, yeah, no, I mean, I signed the law. So as of last night, any city or town can do it, you know, and any restaurant or bar can stay open if they want, if their town says it's okay. So you, where are you going to be, Dennisport?
Yeah, we're down. Yeah, we're at the Chapin's in Dennisport, and then we're at the Beachcomber.
All right. Yeah. Well, it is the law now. You know, places can do it if their city or town says it's okay.
What about happy hour? Can you ever see happy hour coming back?
Yeah, I am. You know, I personally support happy hour. You know, that said, you know, it's, again, it's like a local option, you know. But, I, you know, for me, it's especially like I really want 20-somethings, you know, 18 to 35-year-olds staying in Boston, staying in Massachusetts. And it's really important that we create spaces for them to hang out and socialize and be and, you know, different forms of entertainment. And, you know, that's one thing. There are other things you can do to create that. But, you know, I want to build a better vibe for, you know, young people here in the state and young people who want to come here and stay here, hopefully.
Governor, I'm curious about the public consumption areas. How is that going to work? Is there going to be the opportunity for, say, if you live in Cambridge, like, does Harvard Square become an area where you can walk around with an open container? Or is it going to be way more strict than that?
Well, it's going to be left to the local jurisdiction. You know, that'll be left to Cambridge to sort out, you know, individual cities and towns who, you know, it's their neighborhood. They know what's going to work best and, you know, what the public safety folks will say work best. But, you know, I could see people doing it different ways.
Mego's a big drinker, so she's really in favor. She's really in favor of this.
Governor, help me out with this. Help me out with this, Governor. So if it's a law that passes in Massachusetts, why is it still then up to the town or the city when it's a Massachusetts law? Why can't a restaurant owner go, well, if it's a law, I can just do it because my restaurant is in Massachusetts, regardless if it's in Wellesley or Cambridge?
Yeah, because, Wiggy, it's just the case that there's still local control over certain things and local, you know, local rules apply. But I hope the message with this state law that I just signed that, you know, I advocated for, you know, is a message to cities and towns to, you know, take advantage of this opportunity and, you know, give the opportunity to your bars and restaurants. Again, bars and restaurants aren't forced to stay open until 3, but give them the opportunity to.
All right. Well, listen, I think it's going to be great. It'll be great for summer, and I hope it's something that continues afterwards because I think it's good for business, good for bars and restaurants. And
has there been an uptick? There was a lot of concern that the sales for hotels and the visit. It feels like in the city that there has been a pretty big increase in international fans arriving. How has it been on the state level? Have you seen it, Governor Healy?
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm hearing. There. From outside the country, but I think that's changed and bookings have really picked up from what I've heard. So, you know, I think it's going to be great. We're going to, first match is Saturday and, you know, I think we're ready to go with both public safety, transportation, all that. I think it's going to be a great few weeks here in Massachusetts.
All right, Governor. Thank you as always for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Good to talk to you guys. Take care.
Okay, there she is, the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And we will be back in 2 minutes and chime after that with what is in his feed.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.